Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. The America's Cup has concluded with a marvelous comeback by one boat over another. The intent was to create a spectacle, a public relations spike for San Francisco and competitive sailing, and a new narrative for an old contest that was assumed to be irrelevant in a world that cares only for extreme competition. It was a self-proclaimed success. But who was competing? The America's Cup has always been the playing field for well-to-do yachtsmen who, through their exclusive clubs, shape challenges and boat designs for their pleasure. With television and the high-stakes game of advertising revenue, sport has become a massive capital-intensive enterprise that involves publicly funded stadiums, franchise trading, rights negotiations, multi-million-dollar player contracts, and other exclusionary barriers that reduce the audience from participants to observers. To my mind, extreme sport is not sport at all. And in the context of the America's Cup and sailing, it matters only to a few egos gratified by unconscionable funds spent with no purpose other than self-indulgence. It employs almost no one, invades the airwaves for a few days of diversion, then regresses to petty squabbles, new legal challenges, richer budgets, and public confusion for a few years until it worms its way back into our consciousness again. The ocean is a spectacular place for teaching and learning. Sea experience has formed the bodies, skills, values, and lives of young people for all time the world over. In the 19th century, the canoe was every man's boat, carried on cars, in trains, or on backs to rusticating places where people, old and young, rich and poor, could enjoy the natural environment on the water at an affordable cost. The ubiquitous sea kayak, roof-racked on cars streaming toward the coast, are the modern equivalent. The renaissance of interest in construction of traditional boats has spread across the United States, into the Caribbean, through Europe, and to mid, near, and far east, where replicas of forgotten indigenous craft have assumed a recreational role accessible to many. For example, a decade ago in the Azores, the typical sailing whaleboat, as efficient and beautiful a craft as ever devised, was as extinct as the whaling industry itself. There may have been one or two examples in museums or forgotten in local barns, but the builders were all retired and the whalemen relegated to cafe tables and memories. Through an American intervention, one builder was brought from retirement to build with a young apprentice a new Azorean whaleboat, the first in what was to become more than 50 replicas sailing today in those waters with young people aboard, reveling in the lessons that only successful study of the boat and the conditions can provide. Replicas were also built in the New Bedford, Massachusetts region, where many Azorean and other Portuguese families have migrated. A regatta for these vessels, with American kids aboard, was held just a few weeks ago. There are many other examples. In France, an explosion of traditional craft construction was driven by a culture magazine, Chasse Marée, in Brittany, that resulted in contests of seamanship and gigs with teams from 12 nations. Or in vessels particular to one town's history, newly constructed as a symbol of local tradition. Over 100 such vessels today meet and race in local and international festivals. La Semaine du Golf is one such extraordinary gathering in the protected inland bay of Morbihan, where hundreds of such vessels come together in a week-long celebration of boats and maritime tradition. The recreational opportunity of the ocean is for everyone. There's a wonderful saying, messing around in boats, a description of an universal engagement between young people and small crafts, first crude rafts, then models, then rowboats with a sculling oar, then sailing and pulling boats along shore in every culture. There's a growing phenomenon called raids, gatherings of small boat owners, old and young, coming together to cruise quietly among islands, camping on beaches, and bonding through an authentic encounter with fellow mariners and the sea. That is a far cry from technical monsters barely under control at 40 knots, racing for a few minutes on foils for the indulgence of a few, and a television audience that is only a channel surf away from indifference. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory. Visit us online at worldoceanobservatory.org. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU, Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.